What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. I wanted to remind you all before we get into today's podcast that our bonus content, our draft guides, all of our rankings, and our tools to help you dominate your fantasy league are all available via the season pass on flockfantasy.com. Using promo code FSE, you will get the season pass for $34, not per month, for the whole season from now until January 1st when your fantasy season is over. And a reminder, you can get our draft guides for free by using promo code FSE on Underdog Fantasy. Make your first play. Within 24 hours, it'll be in your email inbox. Today, we're breaking down how you guys can dominate your sleeper fantasy football leagues. Everything from the best values on the platform, the best pick strategy on the platform, and the best draft slots on the platform, plus a mock at the end. Danny, let's get right into it, man. Sleeper's default scoring settings. For those of you guys that just play regular sleeper leagues, we're going to tailor most of our advice to this. PPR, 4 point per passing touchdown, 1 quarterback, 2 running back, 2 wide receiver, 1 tight end, 1 flex, and probably 2 flex would be the most common variation of that. Maybe half PPR, the second most common. A reminder for all of you guys out there that we do have live draft assistance available on Sleeper so that when you're on the clock, say at 110, you can see that based on my rankings, you take James Cook. Some of the other site experts, including Domain and Mason and whatnot, would take Justin Jefferson. That is available via the season pass. We also have custom draft sheets available for Sleeper as well, where let's say you load your league in, my home league's loaded in here, 12 team, 1 quarterback, et cetera, 2 flex. You can get custom draft advice based on your exact league settings. And if you want to customize it to half PPR, to 10 team, whatever, you can go ahead and do that. So Danny, let's get right into it with the running back position. Of course, all fantasy football strategies are based on this position. What stands out to you here with our rankings, courtesy of our draft guide, versus the sleeper ADP? Because most of, you know, your casual leagues, friends and family leagues, you know, home leagues, work buddies, college buddies, they're all going to draft generally in line with ADP on a specific platform.
Well, yeah, if you're solely analyzing, like I would describe it as the heat chart here, obviously we see in the first round, running back kind of pushed up the board compared to where we have them ranked. I mean, you're all in on Christian McCaffrey, so you wouldn't mind taking him at 5. I have him a little bit lower here. So expert consensus for us is at 6.5. He goes 5 overall on sleeper ADP. Jonathan Taylor, 11.5 in our rankings. He goes at 7 on sleeper. We even go to Devon Achane, 16 overall in our combined rankings. He goes at 11. So I would say overall, the running backs in the first round kind of pushed up comparative to where we have them ranked. But the moneymaker is in round 2, man. James Cook, you have them all in, what, 8th or 9th overall? You can get him at the 112, and we'll talk about that later in this video. I, for one, have Ashton Jeanty pushed up. He's my 9th ranked player, available at 14 on sleeper. Even down the board here, Marian Hampton, Chase Brown, Ken Walker, all very attainable at cost compared to realistically where we'd be willing to take them.
Yeah, I think you notice this in the ESPN video, and you'll probably notice in the Yahoo video as well. We just kind of disagree with consensus on which running back should be going in the first round versus which running back should be going in the early second round and so on, which is why having a pick in that early to mid second round is kind of a honeypot for us, because you can get some of the players we might even have ranked in the first round. Like, for example, myself, I have Chase Brown ranked in the first round. He goes in the early to mid second round on most platforms. When you go into round 3, it's kind of the same round 3 values we talked about in the ESPN video. Kyren Williams, Breece Hall, and Javonte Williams. Specifically to Javonte Williams, he does go the lowest on sleeper of any platform. So if you're specifically targeting him, he definitely is a cheap option on sleeper. And then when you go to the 4-5 turn, very similar to what we said with ESPN as well, you're going to see some good values of Judkins, Montgomery, and Swift. Judkins was actually pushed way up on ESPN. He's a little bit more attainable on sleeper. But Tune Price, by far the best values, period, at the running back position for the first 6 to 7 rounds. Now, maybe this will change 2 to 3 weeks down the road when you guys are drafting your teams, but Tootin and Price right now are apparently attainable with a 6th round pick and like a 7-8 turn pick on sleeper.
Yeah, heavy green labels for both those guys. Like, we see Tootin ADP 59, Jadarian Price 80. We have them both 17 plus spots ahead of where they go. And even when you look down the board, again, guys like Rashad White, Jordan Mason, Jonathan Brooks, I don't think sleeper's quite caught up to the ADP surge, but if you're doing a draft within the next week or so, you could take advantage of these values. Again, I'm not going to say what it's going to look like come late August. Obviously, I'm assuming if, you know, Jonathan Brooks gets more hype in the preseason, his ADP will probably rise. But at the same time, I mean, a lot of people are even drafting right now and capitalize on this ADP.
Yeah, and the round 7 to 10 range does look a little bit more appealing if you run a 0 RB or if you just need running back depth. Pollard, Dobbins, Corum, Jalen Warren, Rashad White, Jordan Mason, and Jonathan Brooks, based on our rankings, are all presenting as fine running back depth pieces in round 7, 8, 9, and 10. So Generally speaking, I would say when you look at this kind of heat map, if you just look at it in totality, every round really presents opportunities for the running back position to be the best player on the board. So you don't have to worry about too much, in my opinion, being like completely locked out at running back. Unless you're in your own league settings, you know for a fact your league mates are going to just hammer running backs off the board. If people are just generally following ADP, you should be able to find some decent running back values.
Yeah, like if you're in a non-PPR start six or seven type of league, running backs are going to go extremely high. You just have to know that inherently going into your draft. We usually frame our rankings in a half PPR, full PPR setting, but just know if you are watching right now in a standard non-PPR type of league, the draft sheets will have you covered. And as you can see there in both of our rankings, running backs are pushed up tremendously in that format.
Yeah, exactly. So moving into the wide receiver position, I would say a little chalkier at the top. Like on ESPN, there was a little bit more difference in the second round that we had, a little bit more difference in the third round. Generally speaking, the ADP is in line for the first 10 or 11 wide receivers of ADP. But as we said for the running backs, St. Brown and Lamb both pop as good values in the first round. So if you're going to take a wide receiver in round one, you're probably going to get some of the running backs that we have ranked in round one in round two, which means that you might as well take the best player on the board, whether it's a Lamb or a St. Brown. Once we actually tier list the draft slots, you're going to see that where those guys go rank very highly.
Like prime example, I have Lamb as my number five overall player. And by this ADP, you can get him at nine. We just talked about at running back. Ashton Jeanty is the 14th ranked player in ADP. It's in the range of outcomes if you're drafting on sleeper at the nine spot that you can end up with my number five and number nine ranked players in your first two picks.
Yeah, and for me, conversely, with St. Brown as my sixth overall player, you might be able to get St. Brown, who I've ranked at sixth, and you might be able to get Chase Brown, who I've ranked at 10th in the second round.
In terms of a pure macro, wide receiver, very attainable prices in the first round. You get to the second round, again, I love a guy like Drake London. I just can't take him over the running backs. 13 overall ADP on sleeper. We have him closer to that 16 and a half in our consensus. Even down the board, like George Pickens, I love my guy. I'm a Cowboys fan. Obviously, I want to be drafting George Pickens, but 24 overall, a little bit rich for my blood. And even when we scroll like Rashee Rice, you're not getting elite value on. AJ Brown, you're not getting elite value on. Justin Jefferson, you're taking him about where his ADP is in terms of where we have him ranked. So realistically, in my opinion, if you had to split running back receiver in the first two rounds, grabbing the receiver in the first round and then taking the falling value at running back in the second round, to me is more optimal if you're going to make that one and one.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it more in the strategies. Round three, great receiver value. Nico, Neighbors, and T. Higgins, all round three picks. For us, they rank a little bit higher. Nico and Neighbors, both in the second round in my rankings. Yep. T. Higgins higher in the third round in my rankings. Round four, as we talked about with ESPN, you just get insane value specifically on Devontae Smith and Jaylen Waddle, who both of us have ranked aggressively compared to where they go in sleeper ADP. By this ADP metric, you can get Jaylen Waddle at the 4-5 turn. You can get Devontae Smith in the mid-fourth round, which... Devontae Smith is literally my 23rd ranked player. So the fact that you can get him in the mid fourth round on sleeper presents a really awesome opportunity to craft your draft strategy around taking Devontae Smith near that 3-4 turn, which is why I love picking at the turn in sleeper specifically.
If there's one thing you're going to take from this video, please do not select the round four running back with how great rounds 5 to 7 are at running back. And please take advantage of this wide receiver value in this range.
Yeah, and it's not just those two guys. Egbuka, Flowers, solid value on Ladd McConkey. Like, I bet a lot of you guys doing your sleeper drafts, the best available player, if you're using our draft assistant or if you're using our rankings, will end up being a receiver most of the time in round four.
Yeah, absolutely. Even down the board, like Terry McLaurin, Mike Evans, we'll get to the start of the fifth round. Like, if somebody wanted to say I was taking them at my 4-5 turn, I think they'd be totally reasonable in that range too.
Yeah, and you mentioned to this as well. Unlike ESPN, I thought the round 5 to 6 range didn't have a ton of great value at receiver. Like, we pointed out a couple of names here and there, but Terry, Evans, Tate, Rome, Watson, BTJ, Marv, and Lemon are all presenting in rounds 5, 6, and early round 7 as pretty good values, whereas on ESPN, the running backs were just very clearly the better values at that point in time. So I'm not scared of the running back dead zone round 5, 6, and 7, but I do think the receivers are better on sleeper than they were on ESPN.
Which ultimately, in my opinion, makes it more flexible at the top. If you know that there's going to be screaming values at both running back and receiver in this range, it's going to be relatively competitive. You could be a lot more balanced in your approach. We mentioned on ESPN, like you said, the running backs in this range were just a lot better priced than the wide receivers. Whereas on sleeper, like we said, going to be a lot of guys that we love. I mean, BTJ, 70 overall, 14 and a half in our rankings comparatively. We like Christian Watson, Odunze, Carnell Tate for that matter. But there's also guys like DK Metcalf who go at 72 that is a clear landmine.
Yeah, and same with like Michael Wilson, Alec Pierce, Jacoby Myers, Cortland Sutton. Like, I like those guys on certain platforms, but it not seems sleeper. That Sleeper has some of those like safer, cleaner projection receivers as like the seventh round guys, which is why I think seventh, or like round seven, we'll talk about in a second, is probably where you want to deviate for a quarterback or a tight end, and also maybe start hammering wide receivers again round 9-10 when Jordan Addison, Quentin Johnson, Chris Godwin, Parker Washington, Michael Pittman Jr. are some of the top receivers on the board.
Yeah, last thing I will note, it is funny given how, I mean, obviously if Sleeper was more in tune with Jags camp, they would know this, but the fact that Parker Washington goes after Jacoby Myers to me is outrageous right now.
Yeah, which is why you can only take this Sleeper ADP with a grain of salt to some degree. Like, not every league mate is stupid enough to draft Jacoby Myers 2.5 rounds ahead of Parker Washington based on everything that's going on. You're going to have league mates that are in tune with the news that know that Parker Washington should probably go ahead of him and so on. So let's get into the onesie positions at quarterback.
Yep.
It's expensive to get an early quarterback, and it's not like last video with ESPN, Lamar and Josh Allen were actually reasonably priced, but the other quarterbacks were expensive. It appears that most of the early round quarterbacks are more expensive than we're willing to take them. So fading quarterback is easily the move on Sleeper, especially when you can be patient for, let's say, the Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels type in round seven or so, when some of the wide receivers and running backs have dried up. If you're employing a balanced strategy, you probably already have a lot of those guys on your team. And then also keeping in the back of your mind that even if I don't get those guys, I can take Bo Nix, I can take Trevor Lawrence, I can take Dak Prescott, maybe even all the way down to Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray types. And I always like to use the bumpers. Like, if you're bowling, for example, and you're bowling with bumpers, the thing that's in the back of my mind is, who are my stacking partners? Like, let's say I took St. Brown early in my draft. Yeah. My fail safe, my break glass in case of emergency, is to wait on Jared Goff.
I mean, yeah, if you guys watch the ESPN video, the prime example was I pushed quarterback an extra round, took QJ with that pick, knowing that Dak, Lawrence, and Herbert were all on the board. So by taking QJ with a team that had a Cowboy, with a team that had a Jaguar, I gave myself three stacking opportunities for whichever quarterback fell back to me. You can do that on Sleeper very easily with how attainable these quarterback values are. Minus 11.5 for Jaden Daniels. I'm not even the biggest Jaden Daniels fan. 83 overall, sign me the hell up. Jalen Hurts, same thing, 81 overall in Sleeper, all day, every day. Trevor Lawrence, Dak Prescott, Brock Purdy, like, it's almost like a game of playing chicken, in my opinion, on Sleeper, where the top five guys are the top five guys, people are going to take them off the board. But after that range, once you get to quarterback six and on, you can kind of just wait and see, okay, how many of these guys will go off by my next pick? Oh, only one or two went. Maybe I push it another pick. Oh, another only one or two went. Maybe I push another pick. Like, it's almost like a game of psychology on Sleeper, where it's like, how far can I push the envelope and get the best value I can on the board?
Yeah, not drafting the first falling value that I see is probably the right way to go about things. And again, keep in mind what your exit strategy is going to be. Do you need to take a Baker Mayfield late because you pushed the quarterback position too far or something? So not pushing it to a point that you aren't comfortable with, but generally pushing it to a point that you are comfortable with. The tight end position is expensive, man. When you look at it, everybody is kind of flashing here as not that great of a value outside of Bowers, Loveland. Laporta, and Kelsey. Everybody else is more than like five spots more expensive than what we're willing to pay for those guys. So because that's the case, and Bowers and Loveland are two of them, we're more willing to take those early round tight ends on this platform, knowing that the board is, according to ADP, people are going to quickly take Warren and Fannin and Kraft and Pitts and those guys off the board. And I am going to specifically target those four names that are specifically lower in ADP as well.
It's very simple. We just talked about how late you can wait at quarterback, how deep running back and receiver go in terms of values. Like, if you are drafting on Sleeper right now, it is the single best time to be investing in the onesies, because we know that the ADP down the board at running back and receiver and a quarterback aren't necessarily aligned with how we have them ranked. By securing your tight end, not having to reach 2, 3, 4 rounds like the ADP suggesting right here, and then just continuing to take the falling values at the other positions, to me is the optimal way to go about things. Like, honestly, we'll get to the tier list and the draft strategies video, but let's just say for certain, the elite tight end strategy on Sleeper, absolutely a better way to go about things than even when it was on Sleep or on ESPN.
Yeah, the one caveat I would provide here is that, like, if you're in a 10 or a 12-man league and everybody has a starting tight end already, is Jake Ferguson going to go 10 spots ahead of where I have him ranked because everyone already has a starting tight end? Is Dallas Goedert, Andrews likely, those guys, they're probably going to slide a little bit if you're in a sharper league because people aren't going to take backup tight ends at ADP if they already have a tight end.
Well, yeah, that's the big caveat. And I've been in leagues that are both ways. Some leagues, like, somebody could draft freaking Brock Bowers and still take a backup tight end because their rationale is, what about when Bowers is on bye week?
Yeah, and the other thing I would say is that because the tight end position is pushed up, generally speaking, I think that it is very viable to stream the tight end position off of the waiver wire, grab one or two with your last two picks, and just look out for the best waiver wire tight ends like your Juwan Johnsons of last year, like your Hunter Henrys and Dalton Schultzes of last year, where you can just get cheap tight end production as well. So, Danny, let's get into the actual strategy and some of our favorite picks in each on each platform and also to exactly what strategies we're employing. So let's start by ranking the draft slots on Sleeper. So for those of you guys that are drafting a Sleeper team, look out for your draft slot. If you get to pick your draft slot, maybe follow this list to give yourself a better chance. 101 and 102, spoiler alert, going to be the best picks on every platform because Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson don't grow on trees. You just take those guys and you figure the rest out later. It sucks to maybe miss out on other running back values or whatever in the second or third round. I frankly don't care. Bijan and Gibbs are the best two players. Any arguments or should we keep moving?
No arguments at all. Very clearly the S tier by me as well, especially when we talked about how fruitful the 2-3 turn could be, how fruitful the 4-5 turn can be. Like, we've talked about getting two of one position, three of another, aka the full house on the channel a couple times. 101 and 102 are the prime spot to do it from.
Exactly, yeah. And so we had a lengthy discussion about what the A tier should be, what the B tier should be. So how about I give my opinion on what I would do, you give your opinion on what you would do, and then we'll kind of, you can see what the consensus ended up being. So both of us agreed that the 109 and 108 were very clearly kind of A tier spots. You, because of Lamb and, you know, St. Brown and getting an anchor receiver, me, because I have James Cook ranked that high. But I was arguing kind of in favor of the 112 and 111 being an A tier because James Cook goes at 112 and Chase Brown, who I have ranked at 110, goes at like 205. I figure I could start my draft with James Cook and Chase Brown. So if I were doing this list myself, I would have 112 and 111 in the A tier at the top of it, whereas 109 and 108 would be shortly thereafter.
Yeah, and my counter to that is simply off the fact that I have in my first two tiers of my rankings, eight players in it. And the final of that player in terms of ADP on Sleeper is CeeDee Lamb at ninth overall. As much as I do like the aspect of the first four-round combination at the 112 and 111, I will give you that. I think it's a very, very, very strong combo that you can make. At the same time, I just can't accept the fact that in my rankings, I'm getting an inferior tier player versus the 108 to 109. And even when we talk about in combination with the 103, 104, I personally would have those two picks ranked higher because even though not like ESPN where you can get maybe two or three of those falling values at running back, the fact that Ken Walker has a 23 ADP, if I can start my draft with Puka or Chase plus Ken Walker, to me, that is better than any type of 1-2 combination I can get at 111 and 112.
Yeah, that's definitely true. My only argument that I kept saying was Kenneth Walker on every other platform won't be there at the second pick from 103 and 104. But if you're saying, hey, if he does fall to you, then that would obviously be great. I just don't think he will because on most other platforms, he's like the 15th through 18th player off the board.
So if he falls, I genuinely think 103, 104 would be at the end of S, if not the top of A. If he doesn't fall, and let's just say it's the receiver at the best pick, assuming that running backs go off the board, maybe it's like a Drake London falling value, or maybe you have to push up a Nico, I would still be then willing to take Breece Hall in the third round and then one or two running backs at the 4 or 5 turn given current ADP texture.
Yeah, yeah. I'm scared of that doomsday scenario personally. Fair. Not that I don't like a Breece Hall, Bashil Tutin, Travion Henderson running back core. Let's say I took one round 3, 4, and 5 after taking Jamar Chase and AJ Brown with my first two picks. I'd be a little worried relying on those three running backs relative to some of my league mates running back cores. And I do think this is generally a good year to get running backs early.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. That's how it kind of ends up being where you would have 112, 111 in the tier above. I would have 103 and 104 straight up over it. So we capitulate, we rank 112 and 111 over these picks, but in the same tier.
Yeah. And then the 107, 106 and 110, it just kind of doesn't line up tier break wise. Like the one thing I would say in defense of the 106 and 107 is that you should still catch a Chase Brown, a Marian Hampton, Genty, Kenneth Walker, et cetera, in the second round. And I'm personally comfortable taking either Christian McCaffrey or Amon-Ra St. Brown with the 106 or the 107. So for me, I actually don't mind this pick. I would probably have it in B tier with the 103 and 104 if this was just me doing this list. And the 110, the reason it's down here is because for me at 111 and 112, there's a couple of players like 13, 14 players that I would love to get two of. And at 110, I risk losing the second of those players. And not to mention as well, you got to take a pick a little earlier in the third round. Whereas I think, as we detailed, the fourth round is when the value really starts, especially at those receivers. So the closer I can get to the fourth round, the more I like it a little bit.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Six and seven kind of viewed similarly for us. Some people might have JSN a tier above these receivers in terms of Lamb and St. Brown, which I personally don't believe, which is why 107, 106, and as we'll talk about in a second, 105 are pushed down our boards.
Yeah, and 105, the simple reason it's in D tier is that I have CMC ranked 105. I'm comfortable taking him at 105, but I feel like in most leagues, you'll get him at 106 or 107, and we don't have JSN ranked 105 like a lot of people do. So it generally, it just becomes a worse first-round pick, and you run the risk of losing Kenneth Walker, Drake London, some of those back end of the second round tier players, and you could even potentially lose like Nico, AJ Brown, Rashee Rice, and some of the third-round players. So you're just not really lined up at the best area of the board, which is why the 105 ends up being the worst for us. Let's quickly go through the strategies here. As you made mention to balance being the S tier strategy.
All day.
You can walk out of the first three to four, the first six to seven rounds with an equivalent number of wide receiver and running backs. That's going to be your best strategy. And also, as we talked about with balance, generally we're going to fade quarterback and tight end. Tight end a little sketchier on sleeper, but quarterback definitely the optimal play, as we'll get into.
Well, that's the thing. And again, we'll talk about it in conjunction with elite tight end in a second, but some type of like balanced elite tight end strategy where in the first eight rounds, you end up with seven running back / wide receivers, and then you take the falling value of a Colson Loveland in the fourth. To me, if I'm looking at that combination of players, that would probably be the most ideal situation I can be in.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is that our definition of balance was that you are fading both quarterback and tight end. Fair. So you are taking the elite tight end value there, which is why I would put double hero RB as the S tier strategy, because from every area of the board, whether it's the 101 and 102, the middle of the board with a Christian McCaffrey plus a Chase Brown or a Hampton or whatever in the second round, or the end of the board pairing a James Cook and a Chase Brown, I think a double hero RB, knowing the wide receiver value rounds 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, I think that it is the best strategy on sleeper personally.
So I more so just meant like, even if you wanted to just say it was applicable to in the first eight rounds, I ended up with four running backs and four receivers. I think that'd be perfectly reasonable. It's more so just the take that I think elite tight end would be personally at the end of eight tier for me, just based off that fact that all those tight ends are pushed up. I'll make the case for hero wide receiver. You talked about double hero running back. Very simple for me. I view the top of the receiver position very clearly as standing out. I want to get access to one of those guys. And ultimately, if I can have one elite wide receiver, pound out running back, at least two in the next three rounds, and then backfill that wide receiver with guys like BTJ, with guys like Carnell Tate. At that point, if I'm looking at my wide receiver core and I have CeeDee Lamb, two solid running backs, and then upside shots like Tate, like Thomas, like if we even go further down the board, I mean, if you want to talk about Josh QJ Downs, Pittman. QJ, like there's just a lot of attainable values down the board where I wouldn't necessarily feel in a rush to draft a second receiver in the top 20, top 24 of ADP, knowing that wide receivers 25 for 40 can easily fill out my wide receiver depth. So
yeah, and essentially double hero RB and a hero wide receiver can be run at the same time. Yeah. If you hypothetically took two running backs with your second and third round pick, you start your draft with CeeDee Lamb, Chase Brown, and Kyren Williams or something like that, you'd have a double hero running back and a hero wide receiver. Elite tight end, again, we made reference to it being better because Bowers and Loveland are about at ADP in their rankings, whereas the other tight ends are going to get pushed up the board coming after them. So elite tight end becomes more effective for that reason. You mentioned you could even push it up to A tier. That's mainly a Colson Loveland take, but also a Brock Bowers take. Quickly rattling through the C tier, here, robust RB, because at the end of the board, I think you can start three straight running backs very easily. And I think at the beginning of the board, you can as well. I actually think it's pretty viable. Round four, round five, round six, and round seven, the best player on the board might be a receiver. So running a robust RB and getting three through the first four rounds, or getting four through the first six rounds if you can start up to four every week, I think it's probably closer to a B tier strategy for me.
Yeah, and I would argue the reason why it ranks at the top of C inherently is that I would prefer the double hero wide receiver simply based off the fact that if I'm at the 103 to 107, I think it's just such a viable strategy. If you get a Chase, a Nacua, by my rankings, I would have Lamb up there, obviously, for the purpose of this video. We'll just say JSN, Amon, or St. Brown. You start with one of those guys in the first round. Second round, you get wiped off at running back. That probably means maybe you get a falling Drake London. If not, you get a Nico Collins, somebody like that. Those are your two heroes. Boom. We just talked about that. Down the board at running back, like Top of round three, a Breece Hall, Kyron, and Javonte. End of round four, maybe, again, at that point of the cycle, Bashel, Tootin, Judkins, whatever the case may be. You grab two of those running backs at that turn. So you started off with your first two picks at wide receiver, then conversely backfill that running back, end up with three in a row. And all of a sudden, we talk about an inverted full house strategy. You're very elite at wide receiver, and you have a ton of upside filling your running back position. It's just more of an eye of the beholder type of strategy because you don't have the secure, comfy RB1 anchor in that spot.
Yeah, and that's why hero RB is a little worse for me. It just limits some flexibility if you're just going to say, hey, I'm only going to take one running back through the first five, six rounds because I think you're going to be passing on some values at that point, which is why it's not a crazy good strategy this year. Zero RB, I will say it is a little bit more viable on sleeper because elite tight end is better. However, I don't really want to run it this year in general. I just don't think it's an optimal strategy. And then elite quarterback, as we made mention too, it's the top five or six quarterbacks in ADP are just pushed up way too far in ADP to the point that I wouldn't consider running Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or Joe Burrow, one of those top guys.
We got guys on the board that are 10, 15, 20, 30 picks where we have them ranked ahead of where the sleeper ADP has them. And conversely, at the top of the board, they're all pushed up. Why would we take an elite quarterback?
Yeah, exactly. So, Danny, we are going to put this into action here. We're going to do a mock draft over on flockfantasy.com. You can go into a private draft or draft lobbies. They're filling all the time. We've done thousands, if not almost half a million, I believe, drafts on the site. So we're going to set it up to the sleeper-based settings. We're going to go for 14 rounds, but we're only going to show you the first 10 to save some time here. We're going to use the sleeper ADP as the platform. I'm going to manually edit some bots in there that are drafting off sleeper ADP, and then we'll do some sleeper combined expert rankings for the other ones. And again, we're going to do a two running back, two wide receiver, one tight end, one quarterback. And let's do two flexes for this one because I think that's going to be the more common platform. And it's also the platform for my home league specifically. So I do want to use it there. And we will be picking from near the end of the board. I'll be going from the 112, Danny from the 108, and we will see you in the draft. So we're into the draft now. Danny's going to be drafting from the 108. I'm going to be going from the 112. As you guys can see, all of the bots ahead of us are either sleeper ADP or an expert ranked with sleeper ADP influence here. So this should give you a good idea of, you know, a sharp draft room, quote unquote, where some people are drafting off the ADP of the platform. And then some people kind of have their own ranking set as opposed to just doing a sleeper mock draft where you're just going to end up with a God squad by the end of it.
A little more realistic. And speaking of realistic, CeeDee Lamb should be available 108, 109 in a lot of leagues based off his current ADP on sleeper. And he's my fifth ranked player. Totally comfortable taking him here at the eighth spot.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense to me. Cook or Taylor and Achane, as we made mention to in the running back section, are going higher in sleeper ADP, which is why they go off the board here. James Cook's my eighth ranked player, and I'm going to grab him here at the 112, and I'm going to grab Chase Brown to go with him. I got my ninth and 10th ranked players off the board, so I'm feeling good about kind of the double hero RB start that I talked about as potentially an S-tier strategy on this platform.
Yeah, and I run to the podium. I take Ken Walker, getting buzz right now from Chiefs camp that they want to utilize him more in the passing game, similar to what the Seahawks were a couple years ago. So his ADP a little bit lower on sleeper. I'm totally comfortable taking him in the mid-second.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep, and like we mentioned in the strategy portion, round four, not a great landing spot for running back. Round four, smash value at wide receiver, also for my rankings with Colson Loveland. So because I'm breaking ties here, again, him or Breece Hall versus T. Higgins would be close in my rankings, but knowing that wide receiver value is going to fall back a little bit better than running back, I prefer taking Breece Hall here.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And I'm hoping, yes, in fact, Devontae Smith did fall to me at the 3-4 turn, who I have, as you can see there, ranked at 23 overall. So this is partially why I think double hero running back is a very good strategy from the end of the board, is knowing that on sleeper, you can often get both Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle, who I ranked in the mid third round. T. Higgins also would have been a good pick there for me as well. Yeah, this is a dream start for me. James Cook, Chase Brown, Smitty, and Waddle. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it would have been even better for me if Colson Loveland had fallen back, but it looks like Zach knows ball there. That one hurts, but ultimately you got to pivot when a draft doesn't go your way. I wanted Loveland to fall there, but my 32nd ranked player, a guy that I'd be comfortable taking at the end of the third round, makes it back to me with Zay Flowers.
Yeah, and that's why we talked about that fourth round being just such a honeypot for Waddle, for Higgins, for Smith, for Flowers, for Igbuka. And if you're higher on McMillan or Wilson or Burden or some of those guys, you could also talk yourself into a receiver in that range as well.
Yep, and I'm just going to run to the fucking podium because Bashel Tootin, a guy that is sleeper on is lower on sleeper ADP, but a guy that I have ranked in the mid-fourth rounder makes it to me in the mid-fifth. And I know if I don't take him there, he would not make it back to me knowing where you have him ranked.
Yeah, and I'm going to double tap Romo Dunze and Brian Thomas and not think twice about this. I could go with Jadarian Price, because maybe I want to go with a more balanced approach as opposed to a like a true double hero RB like I'm running here. But as we made mention to round 7 to 10, where, you know, Brooks and White and Mason and those guys are going to go, I think I'm going to be able to get some good running back depth later. So I'm going to, I'll just fill out basically my two wide receiver spots and my two flex for the purposes of this mock.
Yeah, I think that would make a ton of sense here. Now I'm on the clock. Very good decision to be having to make here. Oh, do I let Jadarian Price go? Like, if I had Colson Loveland at this 405 pick, I would have run to the podium and just taken Christian Watson because I would have needed to catch up at receiver. But knowing that I did get Zay Flowers there and I do have Lamb and Flowers, do I just experiment with the fact that I think...
You play running back through the flex if you want to. You got a robust, you know, RB start here. Let's, if you want
it.
To.
We're running it. We're rocking it. Let's experiment here.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about robust RB as being kind of like a B-tier strategy for me, especially if it works out to the extent that it worked out for you, where you are balanced. It's not like you only have running backs. You have two receivers in your two receiver spot that can legitimately finish as wide receiver ones. In fact, both of them did last year.
100%. And unfortunately for me, Sam Laporta does get sniped. He was going to be my target at tight end. But fortunately for me, a guy that I'm getting a lot higher on is Parker Washington, and he makes it back to me at this pick.
Yeah, that makes sense. I would have loved to get Caleb Williams with my pick because I did take Romo Dunze at my last selection. So I look at my board here. I don't have a stacking partner with Hurts because he's gone. I don't have a stacking partner with Caleb because he's gone. But I do still have Bo Nix and Lawrence live as stacking options for me. So as much as I would love to take Justin Herbert here, I'm going to experiment, grab my RB3 in Tony Pollard and grab my RB4 in Jonathan Brooks and build out basically a full status balanced start, four running backs, four wide receivers through the first 8 rounds. Cause I think I feel pretty confident I'm going to get Bo Nix or Lawrence falling back to me.
And this is why you have to make the decisions on the clock. Cause ultimately here, my opportunity bundles where my draft could have been differently. You have to ask yourself, what combo do you prefer? Jadarian Price and Parker Washington or Christian Watson and Jonathan Brooks? That would be a close decision for me. Ultimately, again, what do you think on that combo?
I would prefer Price and Washington myself. I'm not as high on Watson as you are, though.
Fair enough. So, again, that would have to be a decision point. I think I'm comfortable either way, but I think I slightly would prefer the Watson and with the Jonathan Brooks. But, again, close call here. I have a decision to make. Do I want to push quarterback one more pick, potentially get left at the eight ball, or do I want to just take my guy now, realize, hey, realistically, running back, receiver, I could probably get a guy I like in the next round. It would be a close call. Ultimately, you would have to know what toilet sleeper here and what ultimately the sleeper and the expert sleeper at the one or at the one and two spots would do. For the purpose of the aesthetic, I'm just going to take the quarterback here and get a guy that I'm extremely high on with Dak or Lawrence. I'll go Dak. I go Dak just because he's more of a pocket passer and I got Lane.
Yeah. So you grabbed a quarterback, Lawrence goes, Herbert goes. Unfortunately for me, I'm not going to get one of those guys, but I think there's a good chance Nix will fall back to me. So I feel good about my decision to punt the quarterback position.
Yep. And no brainer here. Again, I'm totally willing to play running back through the flex. And to me, running back, very clearly a better value on the board than at wide receiver. My next highest rank two would be Jordan Mason and Rashad White. I will grab Jordan Mason here. And I know you're targeting Rashad White. Oh, no, never mind. He goes.
Honestly, I was really hoping I could execute essentially a perfectly balanced strategy of four running backs, four wide receivers. And now that that position has dried up, I can just take my onesie quarterback and Bo Nix, and I can take my onesie tight end here. Cause I look at the board. I could punt tight end one more time. Hypothetically, I could punt it again and maybe a Kincaid or a Likely or an Andrews or somebody would fall back to me. But I do actually really like both Ferguson and Kelsey as guys that I feel confident in starting every single week, because they play for good offenses, their top 2 to 3 targets on their team. I'm going to roll with the old man. I'm going to go with Travis Kelce here and hope that I can just capture that PPR upside. And after you make your pick, we'll kind of sim to the end of the draft.
Unk takes Unk. Color me shocked. I'll just grab Jalen Coker here and we'll sim the rest.
All right. So taking a look at the teams we ended up with, I love the way that my team came into form here. James Cook, Chase Brown is my anchor running backs. I grab four receivers in a row with Smith, Waddle, Odunze, BTJ. I backfill some running back depth with Pollard and Brooks, one upside, one kind of safer projection. I get a handcuff in Pacheco and some down the line kind of upside plays, Debo Samuel, Tank Dell. And then I did end up grabbing Ferguson after my Kelce pick because he fell back to me. And the reason I did that is because I was between the two guys on the clock and I figure I didn't spend a lot to get them. One of them works out. I use that guy and cut bait with the other one or trade the other one if they both work out for me. And then Nick's my main quarterback, and I intend to stream quarterback if Nick's doesn't work out for me. looking at your squad, if I sort by your rankings here, you get to see how you landed the plane at receiver after the four running backs through six rounds.
Yeah, very balanced at the top there. I mean, having a wide receiver top three of guys like CeeDee Lamb, Zay Flowers, and Parker Washington, while also acknowledging that my running back core, in my opinion, is going to be top three in this league with Ken Walker, with Breece Hall, with Bashaul Tuta, with Jaren Price, and on top of that, rounding out the core with Jordan Mason. I think running back receiver shouldn't be a problem for me in season. I trust my ability to be able to stream tight end. Obviously, I have Isaiah Likely, the upside shot. Mark Andrews, your safe, steady Eddie that can maybe catch eight touchdowns at the tight end position. And then it wraps back with Dak Prescott as my quarterback, stacked with CeeDee Lamb, guy that I think can throw for 4,500 yards, 35 touchdowns. Even if he doesn't have quarterback one or two in his range of outcomes, I feel confident he could be a mid quarterback one.
Yeah, for sure. Again, we kind of demonstrated, I demonstrated kind of the double hero RB and balance strategy. You kind of went robust RB, ironically, but you did also kind of go hero wide receiver a little bit with the CeeDee Lamb pick there. So yeah, that's the sleeper strategy. Hopefully you guys got some value from this video. But once again, I would like to point out that if you guys want to use our draft assistant, our live draft assistant, you can go to flockfantasy.com, get the season pass. And when you make a pick, let's say you're on the board right here and you take James Cook, like my rankings say, you can see kind of how the positional value is going to stack up. It shows the best picks right now, according to us, to you, and to Domain. You can see that Chase Brown would be the pick, and so on and so forth. The live draft assistant available via flockfantasy.com. And of course, the draft sheets, like I made mention to you. If you have a linked league, it'll just take you right to that league settings and autofill. But if you want to customize it and go, hey, I'm in a standard 10-team league, I need to know my strategy differences between the 12-team PPR that you guys broke down, you can see how quickly the rankings change. If you look at my rankings in standard, I got, 13 running backs in my top 15 overall players. Like, it's a big time difference. So make sure you guys use the draft sheets if you guys want to make sure you win your league specific to your league settings. And of course, you can get our total draft guide package. You can head on over to Underdog Fantasy, use the promo code FSE when you sign up. You'll get the FSE rankings versus Sleeper versus ESPN versus Yahoo, like you saw at the beginning portion of this video. And you'll get our rankings, you'll get our overalls, super flex, our fantasy news covered by team throughout the entire offseason is always up to date as well. So all that is available via the season pass, or you can get access to it by using promo code FSE over on Underdog and making your first play on the site. So both linked down below in the pinned comment, 100K road for the subscriber count. Make sure you subscribe to the channel, like the video if you enjoyed. But with that being said, peace out. We'll talk to you soon.